There's Mr. Barton, Judy.
Yeah, I just turned the recording on, so it's going to, as soon as it clocks in, we'll get started. Good morning, Josh. Good morning. We are recording this meeting. It's 8:30 a.m. It's 8:32 a.m. on April 26, 2022. Dr. Bustillo, after you call the meeting to order, we'll do a roll call of the board members and staff.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy meeting to order, April 26, 2022, 8:32 a.m. And we'll do a roll call.
Okay. Dr. King? Dr. Bustillo?
Present.
Mr. Leone?
Present.
Dr. Cornwell?
Present.
Mr. Greer?
Present.
Mr. Barton?
Present.
And board staff, Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Present.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
And my name is Judy Chepius. Please note that Dr. King is absent. Dr. Bustillo, the meeting is yours.
All right, so we do not have minutes to review this month as we don't have a quorum of members who were present at the past meeting to vote on that. So we'll move down to number four on the agenda here, and we're going to be looking at C2, review, consideration, and possible action regarding approval of the supervised clinical practice period for a foreign educated physical therapist, Aspikshka Beskazar. Do we have an update on her status?
Yes, this is her final CPI that you guys will be reviewing. She is completed with it.
Dr. Bustillo, I believe Ms. Besekar is in attendance in the meeting as well, in case you have any questions.
Oh. Would you like to say anything, Ms. Beskazar?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to complete the SCPP, and I'm thankful for my supervisors also. So I'm just waiting for the license now.
Great, thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve licensure based on the completion of the, term for this, the clinical practice period.
Second. All right, any discussion? All right, we'll take the vote.
It has been moved and seconded to approve Apeksha Beskazar for licensure after successful completion of her supervised clinical practice period. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone? Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yay! Thank you.
Welcome as a licensee to Arizona.
You see all my supervisors are.
That's
thank
awesome.
You so much.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Apeksha.
Thank you.
I'm like in the video.
Congratulations, Ms. Beskazar.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you. Thank you, Veronica. Thank
my you. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, so let's move on to our consent agenda here. Item 5B, recommendation to approve certification for Raphael Less with regards to answers on the GNC question of his application.
I move that we approve for him taking the AZ law and be licensed upon receiving a passing score.
Second.
Are you guys going to do that in for B and D or only B?
Only B right now.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion?
I second.
Okay. And we'll call the vote.
It has been moved and seconded to allow Mr. Raphael Less to take the AZ law exam. I apologize. Please let me repeat that. You're approving him to take his exams and be certified upon successful completion of the exams and transcripts, correct? Okay, thank you. Let me restate that. It's been moved and seconded to approve Raphael Less for physical therapist assistant certification upon successful completion of the application, including receipt of transcripts and passage of the MPTE and AZ law exam. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move on to 5D, recommendation for extension of probation, Darren Povar. Judy, I believe, has some updated information for us.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Dr. Castillo. Mr. Povar was able in a very last minute fashion to complete the final outstanding component of his order. He had registered for the PBI ethics course as ordered by the board in June, which was the first available course that he was able to take. They notified him that there was a cancellation for this past weekend, and he did complete that course. So your board materials were updated with an addendum indicating the completion to date of all of his ordered requirements. So the board at this point, if you see all of that and determine that it's appropriate, take no action on this request for probation extension, as if all things have been completed satisfactorily, he wouldn't need the extension. He's met his deadline already.
Just to be clear, Judy, so if we took no action on this particular item, that would terminate the probation due to his completion, correct? That's what we're talking about?
Not necessarily, because the way it was agendized was for a discussion regarding the extension of his probation. So if you take no action at this point, then Mr. Povar will be able to request of the board termination that we can bring to you at a future meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Is it possible if we take no action, can we direct staff approve his going off probation as soon as he gives us a formal request, so he doesn't have to wait another month?
Mr. Harris?
Yeah, Dr. Bastillo, members of the board, Judy and I looked at the original order, and the way the language is, he has to request termination, and then the board would have to, you know, address it. So we did try to expedite it, Dr. Cornwall. But again, because of the timing of everything, And we just received the information that he timely complied with the terms of his probation. We were within the 24 hours and we weren't able to amend the agenda for this month's meeting. So we'll just simply bring it back to you if it's okay in May for the termination of his probation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Given that, I'd move that we take no action on this particular agenda item.
Second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All right, so let's call the question.
It has been moved and seconded to take no action on case 1817, Darren Povar, PT. Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, so we are going to move through the next couple of items here. And that'll bring us to number nine, complaints and other disciplinary matters to review. We have five initial reviews to work through here, and I do have a script that I need to read before we begin those. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's initial review of complaints. There are five cases for the board to consider. The matters will be heard by the board pursuant to its authority under ARS 32-2045. For everyone's benefit, I will provide a brief summary on how the board conducts initial reviews. The summary applies to all cases that we will hear today, and I will not repeat it for each case. I will first begin with introductions. My name is Karen Bustillo, and I am the board's chairperson for today's meeting, otherwise the vice president for the board. I will now ask the board members to introduce themselves, please.
Giovanni Leone, PTA member.
Mark Cornwall, professional member.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Joshua Barton, public member.
Thank you. For those participating in the initial review, please be aware that we have read all the materials submitted. If at any time it is necessary to refer to patients, please use initials only. In each case, the board will first hear a brief summary of the investigative report from its staff. Once staff is done, the board will ask the complainant, if present, if they wish to address the board, and then the board will ask the professional, if present, and their attorney, if represented, if they would like to do the same. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask those speaking not to take time repeating information that the board has already received. You will be given the same amount of time to address the board that it took to present the investigative report, or 5 minutes, whichever is greater. Please keep in mind that this is not the time or place for the complainant and the professional to address each other. The board has a civility policy that prohibits the use of any type of disruptive conduct. Those violating this policy after being given an opportunity to modify their behavior will be removed from the meeting room. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you do not interrupt that process. The board's options include, but are not limited to, dismissing the complaint, taking non-disciplinary action such as issuing an advisory letter or order for continuing education, offering the professional a consent agreement, requesting the professional participate in an informal hearing, or remanding the matter to a formal hearing. Before we call the first case, I want to advise everyone that the initial reviews are audio recorded. Accordingly, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speak at a time. Lastly, as a reminder to the board, this is not an informal hearing. If you have a few questions that will help you better understand the case and take action, please feel free to ask them. However, if you have a number of substantive questions, it may be more appropriate to simply move the case to an informal hearing. Okay, so first on the list here is complaint 2116, Kristen Parmalee. May we have a review, please, Mindy?
Yes, I just want to make sure that Kristen Parmalee is or is not present. Ms. Parmalee, are you present?
I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I also want to see if the patient JC is present. Okay. The summary of the investigative report, just briefly, case 2116 was submitted by originally by the girlfriend of patient JC. I made contact with the patient. He is the complainant at this point. It was alleged that that JC was fraudulently overbilled for services that he received. When I spoke with JC, he reiterated that he did not have any issues with the quality of the care that he received. And I believe that based on Ms. Parmalee's response, she made a good faith attempt to try and reconcile the issue. It sounds like it came down to corporate algorithms in a large corporate environment that were built into the system that billed JC in error using rules that were for one insurance provider versus the correct insurance provider. This case is for your review.
Does anyone have any questions for Ms. Parmalee? Any thoughts, any concerns on this?
I have only one. Ms. Parmalee, do you have any control over those billing programs, or are those all set by your supervisor's or not even your supervisor's employer?
It's set by the employer.
Okay.
Ms. Parmalee, do you review the bills before they go out?
Yes. So I'm able to see the insurance provider and then how many units are being billed each time.
Did you review these bills before they went out?
Yes. The issue was that some Blue Cross plans follow a traditional AMA billing style and some follow midpoint. And initially I was told that this particular plan followed AMA, so it billed out AMA guidelines instead of midpoint, but it was one of the few that followed midpoint, so it didn't seem like there was an error in billing until I was later notified by my boss's boss kind of thing that it was incorrect.
And as my understanding, the billing error has been rectified, correct?
Yes, I believe the insurance company has been refunded, and it's also been refunded to the patient. Like, it's been cleared through our supervisors. Whether or not the check has been cut, I'm not sure yet. That was done several weeks ago.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no other questions, I would move to dismiss this case.
Second.
I don't have any questions, but I do have a concern that this is probably not an isolated incident. And so I guess my hope is that you'll be diligent in looking at billing on other clients in the future. I'm not opposed to dismissing at all.
I would second Dr. Bastillo's concern. I think I don't know that there's any wrongdoing on your part, but I am concerned about kind of the larger corporate system that seems to have caused this oversight. I don't know that there's anything you can do on that, but if you could maybe express that concern, I think that seems to me to be the issue here. So.
Yes, I'm more than happy to bring that up for sure.
Any further discussion? Okay, I think we can vote.
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss case 2116, Kristen Parmley, PT. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to case 2119, Monica Norfleet. I believe that she is here and that she is represented by counsel. Would we do the overview first, or do we want introductions first?
Dr. Bustillo, members of the board, we can have introductions and then we can hear from Mindy.
Perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Kimberly Kent. I represent Monica Norfleet, and I see she is logged on, but I can't see her on my screen. There we go. Monica, just introduce yourself to the board, please.
I'm Monica Norfleet, and I'm a physical therapist.
Great, thank you.
And I do see that the complainant is present, patient MN.
Yes, I'm present.
Would you like to introduce yourself, MN? You don't have to.
Okay. All right. Let me just pull up the document here. The board opened complaint 2119 after review of the complaint from the patient MN. MN alleged that a PT aide inappropriately massaged her buttock area underneath her clothing. At the time, the aide was under the supervision of Monica Norfleet, physical therapist, at the time this occurred. And then based on medical record review and interviews, an additional potential violation was included for the board's consideration. In addition to the original complaint, I think what surfaced as the issue is the determination when Ms. Norfleet delegates tasks to an aide, in looking at, and I cited it for you in the report, really, what is the definition of routine tasks and the scope of tasks that a physical therapy aide can provide? For example, and you'll see in the documentation that the aide performed manual therapy to gap the spine and was also teaching the patient exercises. So it's really for your consideration about what is considered routine tasks. The investigative analysis highlighted, as I said, the original allegations, and then the potential additional allegation is listed for you on page 6, related to maintaining adequate records. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Norfleet, would you or your attorney like to make an initial statement?
I'll defer that to my lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, members of the board. I want to make my comments brief. I think that importantly, we should first address the patient's complaint that an aide inappropriately touched her. There were no complaints made by the patient against the physical therapist, and I think that's important to note that. I do believe that this is a case where there was a misperception of the therapy provided by a longstanding aide who has an excellent record, no patient complaints in over 30 years. And I think that can happen. And unfortunately, in this field, it happens more frequently than other fields. And that's because we, as physical therapists, you have such close physical contact with your patients. But I don't think that a violation of impropriety as intended by the aide is substantiated by the complaint. And the reasons for that are stated in my report. And Ms. Bustillo, since you've asked me not to repeat my our response, I'm not going to do that. I believe Ms. Norfleet addressed the specific allegations about the misperception of the patient. And of course, we always want to clarify that and help patients to feel free to openly discuss this if they have any concerns. So this investigation did cause Ms. Norfleet to make some changes in her practice. And they're centered around both documentation and encouraging open patient communication when they have concerns. And again, unless you want me to, and I'm happy to, I can address those changes made. But I think in terms of the specific scope of the AIDS practice, I think that was also addressed. But I know Ms. Norfleet can further address that. I think that under her training, she believes that she is to provide the evaluation, the treatment plan, the range of therapy, and then the aide is to work within that therapy. I do not believe she has her aides designing therapy, designing plans, designing exercise programs. I think she gives a plan and a range, and that's a cute little kid there. A plan and a range. And she asks her aide to follow that. She does not allow them to devise a plan. So, but I think she can speak to that better than I can. Those are the main points that I make. In this particular case, I think the complaint should be dismissed. I do want to note that the changes, there are changes that we believe this complaint drew to light that relate to documentation. And so now she has her aides initial all of their therapy, and she's made some changes to improve her documentation. Those are noted in my report. I'm happy to expand on that if needed. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Norfleet, would you be willing to answer questions?
Yes. Certainly.
Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Ms. Norfleet, what was your thought process as far as delegation of manual therapy treatments to the technician in question here? Like, what do you feel qualified that individual to be able to provide that aspect of the treatment to the patient?
It's already documented what I had initially done for the treatment plan and have already executed. I explained to my aide exactly what I do, where the body part is that we're focusing on. With his years of experience, I truly trust that he knows exactly what I'm talking about and is very professional when he performs these massages.
Is there any like tool associated with the massage? Is it all completely hands-on?
It's all hands-on.
Okay. And does he have any additional training for anything like that, whether it be from his schooling, whether it be from a continuing education course, you guys working on it in the clinic? Like, what kind of training does he get?
Yeah, well, he's had all of the above. You know, he went to physical therapy technician school back in the 80s and has been practicing as an aide ever since then underneath three very distinctive physical therapy clinics in Tucson. And so over the years, he is subject to having be present with certain massage techniques that the therapists will do, and is always supervised when he is learning how to perform something new, such as this. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So, Ms. Norfleet, you have personally observed this technician doing these techniques?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And approximately how many observations have you had?
He and I have been working together in the last 8 years. So we always go in together with the patient on what body part is going to be addressed that day. If he has any questions, he will come and ask me about that. So several times have I witnessed him performing these.
Including the spinal distraction?
I'm sorry?
Was that including the spinal distraction?
Just the manual traction, per se. It's nothing extremely intricate. It's just a very big part of our massage techniques that we use. It's just a downward, you know, soft tissue direction from, you know, the upper lumbar, lower lumbar, to the pelvic region, holding on to the iliac crest to distract the spine, and that's all. So it's part of the massage techniques that we use.
Okay, so are you saying that it actually distracted the spine, or did he essentially stretch the muscles?
And stretching the muscles.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Probably could use a better term than distracting the spine, since do you realize how many pounds of force you have to exert in order to distract the spine?
Yes.
Okay. So he's not doing it with massage. So maybe that would be a good something to do. Just call it something different, so there's no misunderstanding.
Got it.
Ms. Norfleet, do you routinely, you and your staff, discuss consent before placing your hands on a patient?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We're specific to the area. And even as the patient comes in, things do change, you know, from one visit to the other. So we're always asking the patient, you know, where is your spot that we're working on today? Am I on the right location, et cetera?
And Ms. Norfleet, when it comes to billing for any manual therapy that's being delegated to a technician, is that something that is being billed with the technician being the one providing it, or is that a non-billed treatment?
It's usually a non-billed treatment. I'll try to go in and at least address that particular soft tissue area if I feel it needs more work.
Okay.
So on the incident in question, you directed your technician to massage the gluteal region under the clothing?
He did know before he went into the room what area to massage. We were working on her lumbar spine. She did have a nodule just underneath the iliac crest on the proximal gluteal region. And so that was the area that we were focusing on.
And that was something that required no clothing?
Well, to at least have the patient bring her waistline of her exercise pants down a bit, yes, sir.
Okay. And Did you or did the technician get consent to do that?
We both did. When I first saw her that day, I had another patient that had come in with quite a bit of increased pain. So I asked the patient if she would mind to go ahead and have my technician go ahead and work with her that day. So she did consent to that. We talked about the area that was to be treated that day.
Okay, so you were specific in that she gave you asked for consent for the technician to massage the buttocks.
Correct.
Not just you weren't vague in saying, well, it's just your area of complaint. You said, is it okay to massage the buttocks?
To perform that particular treatment for her that day. And that is the area that we were focusing on.
And you feel that she understood exactly what you were talking about?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Are there any other questions that people would like to ask? Patient MN, is there anything that you would like to add to this discussion?
Just that on that day, I don't recall being asked if they could massage my glutes. It was to be reserved just for the nodule, which is kind of behind the hip area. So it took me by surprise that that the massage would go further than it had gone before or did afterwards.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
MN, when you say that the nodule was behind the hip area, can you give kind of a little bit more of a description of where exactly you're referring to that would be located?
Well, when I pulled my athletic wear down a little bit, it covered the buttocks, and the nodule was right above that area. It's in the lower lumbar area. I don't know enough about physiology and anatomy to tell you exactly where it was.
But would you say it was just below the waistline but above the buttock area? Or would you say that it went kind of like the higher buttock area? That just kind of trying to pinpoint a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was not in the higher buttock area. It was between the waistline and the buttocks.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional thoughts or potential motions? Well, I'm going to take a stab at it here. I definitely have concerns about the practice being done in this office and the use of assistive personnel. I feel it goes beyond routine physical therapy management. I move that we move this case to an informal hearing and add the violations that Ms. Richardson reported in her investigative report.
Second.
I'm okay with this motion only because I think it allows us to have a very large breadth of what we could do or needed to do, and since this is an initial complaint. So I'm okay with that. And I think this will give both sides an opportunity to present a full case if necessary.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think this is probably the best thing to do, you know, just to get more information to make a true decision. I kind of feel like you do, Karen. I'm a little concerned with how the practice is being managed in regard to assisted personnel, but I can also understand, you know, maybe routine tasks different to one therapist versus another because of, you know, the way that it's defined within statutes. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. But if the person is being properly trained and has the background of it, I just feel like there probably needs to be more looked into that to make a better decision.
As part of our move to an informal hearing, and I don't know, but Ms. Richardson, maybe we could do a search. I'm not aware of any kind of definition of what routine practice is in the statutes. Is there one?
No, it's not defined. I think perhaps historically, anything that would require clinical judgment, assessment skills, judging, you know, whether or not you need to adjust the treatment at that time. I think maybe Ms. Bustillo might be able to answer that too as being an outpatient practice, but it's not defined in statute.
Okay. If it's not defined in statute, then I think maybe an informal may be appropriate just to kind of try to sort that out a little bit more.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it seems like the way that things are worded in there, I mean, you could make the same argument for all of that needs to be done for the PTA as well. So because there's no real differentiation between PTA and tech's routine tasks, as long as the PT is delegating it, as long as they're assessing it, it makes it very hard to kind of stand on what the statute actually says there.
And I might be able to find something through the professional organization. I will look to see if the APTA or other resources, maybe other practice acts define it in other states. So I can do some more investigation before the informal hearing to hopefully provide that resource for you.
I do believe
that would help.
That would be great.
I do believe that the APTA does have a substantive policy statement on the use of a PTA versus an aide or a technician.
Very good. I'll go out and get that then.
That would be great.
So was that Josh Greer or Barton that seconded that motion?
I think it was me, Greer.
Thank you.
Mindy, I don't know if this would go into any additional investigation, but I know one of my concerns is, you know, whether billing for services provided like that through a tech would be okay. I guess a lot of that is going to come down to the payer, not necessarily the statute because it's not defined.
Right.
So I don't know if maybe something needs to be looked into that as well.
The only payer that I'm aware of that precludes an aide's interventions tasks from being billed is Medicare.
Yeah, federal payers.
That federal payers.
I'm aware of, yeah.
But I can look further and see. I'm not aware of anything that would be articulated in a general sense.
And I'm just not sure if that's even something that we, you know, would be looking into as a board. You know, I would think that that's probably more the insurance's issue. If it's not fraudulent within our statute, I would think we're probably fine, but I figured I would bring that up just in case.
Yeah, I think the issue that I raised in my investigative report was the fact that there was nothing indicating who was providing the service, the task. Yes. That is specifically stated in our practice.
Okay.
Any other concerns?
The only other concern that I have is regarding MN's original claim. I've been trying to understand, MN, if you're still with us, is there some kind of, like what was the concern? Was it just that the massage went too low, or did you feel like you were actually, like there was some type of sexual advance going on? And I think maybe some additional looking into that may be helpful. It wasn't entirely clear to me from the investigative materials kind of what that distinction was, or whether there was a distinction there.
MN, do you want MN to respond to your question now?
If she's available to, that would, I think that would help us to possibly narrow down this investigation, which I think would be helpful.
I've had massages before, both in physical therapy and outside of physical therapy, and massaging the buttocks is different than grabbing them. And this was not a massage touch. This was a grabbing fistfuls of buttocks touch. It was very different than anything I'd had in the years and decades of massages that I've had.
Okay. If that is the case, then members of the board, does the aide in question here fall under our practice in that we could investigate his actions specifically? I don't think so, right?
No.
No.
Okay. So then I think it's probably correct to move to an informal hearing, but
it looks like Ms. Kent has her hand raised.
Do we want to?
I would.
Do you have a?
I won't talk until you tell me it's okay, Karen.
Okay, go ahead and state your point.
I just wanted to be sure that you know that the aide is employed by Mrs. Norfleet's boss and superior, and the policies and procedures, guidelines, etc., are set by the practice for which she is an employee. So I just wanted to be sure that I clarified that.
Sure.
She doesn't have any control over whether he works there or doesn't work there. It's up to the practice to make those decisions.
Yes, I think I understand that, and I think that's part of the reason why I was confirming that we didn't have any authority over him as an individual, is I want to make sure that Ms. Norfleet's not, you know, punished for the mistakes of somebody else, but there are some concerns about the supervision and the delegation, and I want to look at those, but I want to make sure that we're not, you know, making her responsible for things that are outside of her control.
Any further discussion? Okay, Judy, will you call the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to move case 2119, Monica Norfleet PT, to an informal hearing to include all of the violations identified in the investigative report. Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Staff will be in contact with everyone to let us know the next steps. Okay, moving on here. 9C, case 2131, Stephen Kempton. And I believe Mr. Kempton has counsel, if he's here as well.
Do you guys want to restart before, can we start the recording, stop and restart?
Sure.
Yes, good idea.
Okay.
We're going to stop the recording at 9:22.